always have to pass two or three cars at a time, always on a hill, up with a passing sign, and around a curve. It's unbelievable. You just couldn't believe it. I feel sometimes like I'm driving in the Grand Prix, except that I don't take any of the chances that they do. You may be reassured, I do not. However, we got to Marbella by 9:30. Now, we decided to go to Marbella rather than Tormelinas because we had heard that Tormelinas was pretty much of a, had got kind of gone beatnik, European-type beatnik. And I just can't hack that, as the Navy Air expression goes. So we heard that Marbella was still pretty elegant and that we would probably like it. Now, I should tell you that the entire southern coast of Spain, from Estepona, I think, probably, which is it's past San Marques, on the southern coast of Malaga. If you have a map, you can see it. It's all along the south there. It's almost completely inhabited by Scandinavians and Germans. They have, and some Americans, and many English. They have completely taken over the southern part, just as we have Belgians up around where we are now. Of course, this is only for the past few months. And as I told you, Mallorca was just inhabited by foreigners completely. San Sebastian still retains so much of the Spanish atmosphere, and it's a Spanish city primarily, but that's why I think I liked it so well. Although I like Marbella and Tormelinas much better than Mallorca, but as I go on, I'll tell you about it. So Mary had made reservations at this hotel and apartment hotel in Marbella, and it was a three-room apartment for 400 pesetas a night for two. That came to $20 for three nights for two people, or $10 a piece, which you just can't beat those kind of prices. Less than about $3 and something a night for a hotel apartment. But it seemed that the name of the apartment hotel was the Skoll, S-K-O-L, so you can get from that to the Scandinavian. So it seems that people, some Scandinavians must have built it with the hopes of selling the apartments to people. But until they can get them sold, and there are apartments and hotels going up every inch of the way down there. It's unbelievable the amount of tourism that's going to go on down there, and how many, it's unbelievable that so many hotels would be occupied, but obviously not by Spaniards because they simply couldn't afford them. Even the well-to-do Spaniards would be very hesitant to put out that much money. On a vacation, to tell you the truth, that they really would be. So, and besides, they're not used to the luxuries in their own home, the majority of them, even the wealthier ones. Luxuries like refrigerators and things like that, central heating, so that they don't see the need for them the way we do when we go to a place for a vacation. We want the conveniences that we're used to. But anyhow, we got to this place, and first we passed a place called the Don Pepe, and oh, it was a beautiful-looking hotel, and Mary said, if we don't have one as good-looking as that, I'm going back to that tour company, and that's Mark Sands on the base, and just tell them what I think. Well, we got to this place, and it was just magnificent. We went in, and we went to the desk, and gave them our credentials, and of course, you have to leave your passport or your identification papers. And we had an apartment down the second floor. We brought some food with us, but you're not allowed to use the kitchen. And, that's kind of evident after a while. As I go on, you'll understand. So we were up on the second floor, and we went in, went to a room, and then there was a sort of like a little foyer. And on the right-hand side of the foyer, but locked, was the kitchen, which we never did get in to see. And on the left-hand side was like a large dressing room with a chest of drawers. And as we walked into the living room, it was small, but it had a Spanish furniture, but on a Danish line, a very simple couch with two very simple chairs and a small table and a writing desk and another small table and a few lamps suspended from the ceiling or inserted on the walls, but with a wicker covering. That's very Spanish, you know. And so it had a window that extended the full length of the room up to the ceiling with drapes. you walked out towards the window, there was a door, and you could open it up, and you had a porch large enough to, if you had some kind of a chair that you wanted to lay down on, you certainly could put it out there. But it already had a chair and two tables and a little old lamp that sort of a wrought iron thing that you could plug out so you could light up your porch. It was just beautiful. But the rest of it, as I say, was just beautiful too. As you entered the apartment, to your right, there were, I don't know whether they were real marble or whether they were make-believe marble, but anyhow, it certainly looked like marble. Marble stairs going up so that your bedroom was upstairs, so that you had three rooms and your bedroom was upstairs. And you had a bathroom when you first went up the stairs, directly at the head of the stairs, and you had a large wardrobe type of, but built-in wardrobe type of closet. And then you had twin beds with a nightstand and another big closet and a wall-to-wall mirror and wicker lamps over each bed. And I said to Mary, let's ask him how much it is and buy it. Of course, I was kidding, you know. But it was just beautiful. We just couldn't believe it. And, you know, for that much money, 400 pesetas a night. Now, I don't usually rave about apartments or hotels, particularly in Spain. And with a tour company, you never know what you're going to get. You may get very particular here. Like, our hotel in San Sebastian was supposedly a good hotel, but it certainly couldn't compare with most of the hotels in the States. And the hotel in Mallorca was nice, but nothing like this. Of course, the one in Portugal was excellent. But this was, they call it a luxury hotel, and believe me, it was a luxury hotel. It was just out of this world. So we went down and had a gin and tonic before we went to bed and looked over the situation. Because we've become so banglified now, if that's the word to use for someone who's American but Spanish, that the things that Spanish women don't do, we don't do either. And it's very unconscious. Back home, I'm sure I won't have any qualms about it all, but here, for example, I just couldn't bring myself to go in to sit at the bar in a Spanish hotel, because Spanish women just don't do this. But the Scandinavians and English do, of course. And so we sat out sort of in the lobby, a very large lobby, and had a gin and tonic, went to bed, we were both dead. And the next morning we got up, and it didn't look too nice, so we thought we'd take a drive first, and we drove down through the town of Marbella and walked around a little bit, and I bought some postcards, which I sent to you. And then we rode down a few kilometers to, about 20 kilometers really, to a place called Fuengirola. Now, I didn't know where she lived, or I would have stopped by to say hello, but little Maria is living down there with her husband and baby. And it's also building into a tremendous resort area. So we rode around Fuengirola for a bit, and then rode on back. We passed some kind of a school, or I don't know, but it's run by the Spanish government, and it had the most unusual curlicue type of church that you've ever seen. We couldn't find a way to get into the place, so we would have, but I did send a picture of it to Uncle. I thought, gosh, it's not typically Spanish, typically anything. So we got back to the hotel, and we decided that we'd go down to the beach. It was very, very warm. And as we were walking down the lobby, we hadn't gotten much of a glimpse of the place during the night.